Good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's telephone town hall hosted by the C-470 Corridor Coalition. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator as we discuss C-470 and the proposed improvements to the freeway in addition of tolled express lanes with Douglas County Commissioner Roger Partridge, CDOT Commissioner Ed Peterson, Lone Tree Mayor Jim Gunning, Highlands Ranch Metro District Representative Alan Dreyer, CDOT Regional and Transportation Director Tony DeVito, and CDOT Project Director Jerome Estes. Before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about the format for tonight's call. We want this to be very interactive, so if you'd like to ask our panel a question, please press star 3 on your telephone keypad and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information. Once the operator notes your information, you'll be returned to the call and can listen to the conversation until it's your turn. So again, press star 3 on your keypad if you'd like to ask a question. Since our panel would like to get to as many questions as possible tonight, we'll ask you to limit yourself to only one question. If yours is chosen, I'll call your name and ask you to repeat the question for our live audience. We'll also be asking some polling questions later tonight, and I'll explain that process to you in just a few minutes. So why don't we get started? Commissioner Partridge, will you get us going and talk a little bit about the history of C-470?
Thank you, Roger. My name is Roger Partridge, and I represent District 2 of the Douglas County Board of County Commissioners. I was elected in November 2012 and currently serve as the chair of the board. I also serve as the vice chair of the C-470 Coalition. The C-470 Coalition was formed in February 2011 to provide a forum for local governments, business organizations, and citizens to consider funding options and ultimately reach consensus on a plan to pay for C-470 improvements. We all know the C-470 corridor is heavily congested each day, and the congestion will worsen in the future with continued regional growth. A key goal of the project is to offer travel time reliability. Unfortunately, public funding is not available in sufficient amounts to pay for the additional highway capacity to meet travel demand. Several funding options were presented to the public for consideration, and tolled express lanes received the most support. In February 2013, the C-470 Coalition obtained consensus on express lanes as the preferred C-470 funding alternative. I'm looking forward to the discussion tonight, so please remember to press star 3 to ask a question.
Thank you, Commissioner. Again, star 3 now if you'd like to ask a question. Our operators will take down some quick information, and we'll get you in the queue to speak with our panel. C-470 has required a great deal of collaboration over the past several years. I'd like to turn the call over to Mayor Jim Gunning to discuss that collaboration. Mayor?
Thanks, Roger. My name is Jim Gunning, and I have served as the mayor of Lone Tree since 2008. In addition to serving as the mayor, I have spent a great deal of time discussing infrastructure needs and funding with other mayors in the Metro Mayor's Caucus and leaders around the state. This project is a collaborative effort involving the support of many entities, including the C-470 Corridor Coalition, comprised of local governments and other entities who developed the proposal, the Federal Highway Administration, who's providing funding and oversight, the state of Colorado, who is also a primary funder, the Colorado Department of Transportation, who will oversee the project design and construction. It's important to note that CDOT will continue to own the highway, regardless of the funding options. And then the CDOT High Performance Transportation Enterprise, who secures private funds by selling revenue bonds to investors to be repaid over time. The C-470 Coalition member, Douglas County, has contributed millions of dollars to the planning and design of the project and will contribute $10 million to construction. I'm glad to be here tonight and look forward to hearing your questions. Don't forget to press star 3 to ask a question.
All right, thank you. C-470 is an example of how Colorado is looking differently at transportation in general. Let's call on CDOT Commissioner Ed Peterson next. Ed, would you introduce yourself and talk about this new era of transportation?
I sure will, and thank you, Roger, and thank you to all the folks who are with us this evening. My name is Ed Peterson, and I've been on the Transportation Commission since 2011, representing District 2, which is basically Jefferson County. This year, I'm honored to serve as chairman of the commission. During the previous eras of transportation, we built roadways primarily for cars and trucks. When they reached capacity, we added more lanes, and then those lanes filled up. Today, in our busiest corridors, we design and build roadways that provide people with transportation choices and optional efficiencies so that transit riders, carpoolers, single-occupant vehicle drivers, and even pedestrians and bicyclists can benefit from the same project. One of the most effective techniques for reducing traffic delays is something called express lanes, which, as Roger mentioned, was the preferred C-470 funding alternative selected by the coalition. We are currently building express lanes on US 36 and extending them onto I-25. I'm glad to be here tonight and look forward to hearing your questions. Please don't forget to press *3 to ask a question. You know, before we update listeners about the project, I'd like to call on Tony DeVito, Region 1 Transportation Director, to talk about express lanes. Tony?
Thanks, Commissioner. One of the most effective techniques for reducing traffic delays is what we call express lanes, which, as Commissioner Peterson mentioned, was the preferred C-470 funding alternative that was selected by this coalition. We are currently building express lanes on US 36 and extending the existing ones further north on I-25. Ultimately, CDOT is dedicated to providing mobility and maintaining choice. We are focused on meeting your needs to get you from point A to point B and ensuring that transportation helps grow our economy. For the proposed C-470 improvements, the Colorado Department of Transportation will oversee project design and construction using a design-build delivery method to expedite this project. This means that a conceptual design will be provided to an engineering and a contractor team that we select, and then they will undertake the final design and construction.
All right, thank you, Tony. We are going to start taking questions here in just a minute. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press *3. Well, before we do that, I'm going to call on Jerome. Jerome, as Tony noted, this project will be managed by CDOT. Would you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the scope and schedule?
Sure, Roger. My name is Jerome Estes, and I am the project director on behalf of CDOT. The current project extends from Interstate 25 to Wadsworth. The ultimate project will extend west to Kipling. C-470 will be improved to add tolled express lanes, one or two lanes in each direction, varying by location, plus associated improvements. We will add two westbound tolled express lanes from I-25 to Colorado Boulevard and one westbound tolled express lane from Colorado Boulevard to Wadsworth. Eastbound, we will add one tolled express lane from just west of the Platte River to I-25. Motorists will have the choice of using the existing two general purpose or lanes already paid for or paying to use the new tolled express lanes. Transponders and photo billing will be used like they are on the E-470 toll highway. Additionally, CDOT plans to add auxiliary lanes between select interchanges. These locations include University to Broadway, Broadway to Lucent, Lucent to Santa Fe, and Santa Fe to Platte Canyon westbound only. Preliminary schedules have construction for the C-470 improvements between Interstate 25 and Wadsworth beginning in the summer of 2016 and being mostly complete by December 2017. Construction activities may extend beyond that date. Construction is estimated to cost $230 million. Available public funds total $112 million, leaving a gap of $118 million needed from the sale of bonds to be repaid with toll revenues over time. Also, CDOT has applied for a $15 million federal Tiger Grant. If received, this grant would reduce the amount needed from bond sales. We'll talk about funding for this project a little later in the program.
All right. Thank you, Jerome. Again, if you'd like to ask our panel a question, press *3. Let's get started and go to Pete first. Pete, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to go back to the original construction of the authority, and we were all assessed a $10 a year per vehicle for on our registration when we renewed our licenses for supplementing E-470, and it was told to us by Commissioner Mike Maxwell of Douglas County at that time that it would only last 5 years. Well, guess what? It's still going. And I'd like to know why it has not been told to the public. It seems a bit misleading.
All right, Pete, thank you. Commissioner, go ahead.
Hello, Pete. This is Commissioner Roger Partridge. Very good question. And Pete, your question is good to answer because some people get confused with C-470 and E-470, which goes east from I-25. So the $10 fee that you see is for E-470. And just to let you know, that is to sunset in 2018 as of present. So hopefully that answers your question. Again, that refers to E-470 and not C-470.
All right, let's go to Ken next. Ken, what's your question?
My question was just, and I think you've answered it already, do you continue to plan? There will always be some free lanes that you will not have to use express lane like we have to on the, I guess it's the E-470 now.
Jerome?
Yes, thank you, Ken. And we are very careful with how we term the existing general purpose lanes because taxpayers have already paid for those two existing general purpose lanes. So sometimes we talk about those as free, but they aren't really because they've already been paid for. But the answer to your question is that motorists will have the opportunity to use the existing general purpose lanes at no extra charge.
Okay, Susan, go ahead with your question tonight.
Well, part of it's already been answered. I didn't get it all written down. What was the total cost? I didn't have time. Hello?
Sure, Jerome, do you want to take that?
Thank you, Susan. We are somewhere in between what we call preliminary traffic and revenue projections and final traffic and revenue projections. Later on in the presentation tonight, we'll talk about how if you're traveling during the worst traffic period westbound from I-25 to Wadsworth, that toll could be near $6 to save approximately 40 minutes. Again, these are projections that are somewhere in between preliminary and final, so we do have some confidence, but there is still more to study to nail down what those toll rates are. But later on tonight, we'll cover again the $6 projected toll on westbound C-470 during the PM peak from I-25 to Wadsworth and the corresponding 40-minute time savings you can realize.
All right. Thank you, Jerome. Let's go to Dwight next. Go ahead.
Good evening. My question related to how the what counties would be expected to contribute to this effort. My opinion was Douglas County, Jefferson County, and pretty much any county that is serviced by C-470. And that would probably include the Inglewood and Centennial areas as well.
Dwight, let me have Commissioner Partridge go ahead.
Hello, Dwight. This is Roger. You are really pretty correct. Douglas County and Arapahoe County and the town of Lone Tree, city of Centennial, all will contribute to the C-470 coalitions for Segment 1. Segment 2, which goes from Kipling to I-70, that will involve Jefferson County in the funding also.
All right, we've had some great questions so far. Again, if you'd like to ask our panel a question, press *3. Jerome, earlier you mentioned there's a funding gap, and we also had a question already about that, of approximately $118 million. This might be a good time to talk a little more in depth about financing. Would you go ahead with that?
I'd be happy to talk about the High Performance Transportation Enterprise, which is a separate government-owned business within CDOT that helps the state determine the best ways to finance large, important projects like this one. The way the process works typically is CDOT identifies important transportation needs. Then we at the High Performance Transportation Enterprise conduct extensive analysis to determine the best financing option to make it happen as quickly as possible. We analyze the costs, risks, and benefits of the different project financing options, and as a part of that analysis, we study the financial impacts of partnering with a private entity. There are a lot of misperceptions about these public-private partnerships, or P3s as they're called. In reality, very few projects meet the criteria for this type of financing. and that's why there are so few projects built this way. When HPTE has chosen to use a P3, as we did on US 36, CDOT always remains the owner of the road, and there are tremendous amounts of protections and performance guarantees built into those agreements. So what does all this mean for C-470? Currently, a hot topic is whether or not C-470 will be a P3. C-470's Value for Money, or VFM, study is nearing completion, which looks at available resources and outcomes. The preliminary results and initial assessments indicate that given the size and scope of the C-470 project, a better option may be traditional financing. Once again, we have not completed the value for money that ultimately is used to recommend P3 or public financing, but right now the preliminary results of that analysis are pointing us towards public financing and not a P3. So rather than a P3, HPTE could use the toll revenue bonds to finance the project and cover the project funding gap and to complete the project. CDOT will consider the value for money study and plans to make a final decision in October 2014.
All right. Thank you, Jerome. Let's take our next question from Russell. Go ahead, sir.
So my question has to do with hours of operation of the express lane, and you alluded to variable rates of the express lane. Is that what you're proposing?
Mr. Peterson, go ahead.
Thank you, Russell, and thank you for that question. Basically, what we're talking about here with the toll lanes is actually a traffic and congestion management technique. So the express toll lanes will vary by time of day, providing a reliable travel time. Preliminary studies have suggested that the range could be approximately $4 to $6 during peak travel times westbound from I-25 to Wadsworth, and at somewhat less rates at other times. So again, there is always the option to use the the general purpose lanes that are there, and pricing for the tolls will vary by time of day based on the congestion. I hope that helped answer your question, and thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Dorothy, you're next. Go ahead.
So once the road is paid for, will the toll be non-existent? And who will collect the toll fees?
Mayor Gunning, would you like to take this one?
Sure, Dorothy. Thanks for the question. And the toll revenues are really set for the express lanes to manage the congestion. Commissioner Peterson just sort of explained that's a big part of the reason we have the toll. But let me give you a little bit more detail on what the toll actually does. The collected toll revenues, they actually help pay off the financing to build the road, the administrative cost and maintenance to keep the road up. But they don't really cover the entire cost associated, so the toll is really never going to go away for both maintenance and, again, to manage congestion. So at this point, CDOT and HPTE will continue to own the road and manage the tolling. Any surplus toll revenue, however, will go back into the road for maintenance costs, administrative costs, and financing the debt. So those funds really will stay with our project here in our region to benefit us. So I certainly appreciate you listening tonight and for the call-in.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. There's a lot of information being presented tonight. If you'd like to find more information, you can visit our website. Type in C-470 Express Lanes on your preferred browser. It'll go right to the CDOT website, or you can visit C-470Coalition.com. Jerome will be covering a lot of information about dates for open houses next week, so you might want to grab a pen and a piece of paper, and we'll get to that information a little later in the call. Why don't we go back to taking questions and go to Brad next. Go ahead. Sorry, Brad, we had a bad connection. Let's go to Brent. Brett, go ahead.
Hi, this is Brett. I have a question about why we're only expanding one additional lane for the general for the toll instead of adding an additional general purpose and then maybe adding toll on top of that. As you can see in 225, for example, I mean the traffic there was horrendous with only two lanes, and basically we're going to end up with the same congestion there, except for the toll lanes. Just curious what the thought process was for that.
Tony?
Great question, Brett. And you hit right on it. What we're seeing in the metro area and as other DOTs across the nation are seeing is a little bit of the you build it and they will come. And in addition, what we're seeing is those general purpose lanes will ultimately fail, as you alluded to on your question. What we found is managed lanes or what managed lanes will do is they'll provide an opportunity for longevity and sustainability by variable pricing and everything that goes into that. You're providing reliability during those peaks. You're also allowing, because they're electronically controlled, the ability to do emergency response. And I do want to mention that in addition to the managed or toll lanes that we are adding, we're also adding auxiliary lanes between ramps in several locations throughout the corridor. And we will also add some direct connect ramps at the I-25, E-470, and C-470 interchange. So we are looking at a blend on both this project.
Thank you, Tony. Let's call on John next. Go ahead, John.
Yes. My question was, this seems like a perfect opportunity to incorporate another project to connect the loop of the light rail from Santa Fe to I-25 across Highlands Ranch. So my question is that part of this project, and if not, why not?
Helen?
Hi, John. Thanks for the question. At this point, the project does not include light rail, but the improvement does not preclude RTD from adding light rail in the future. RTD has identified the light rail along C-470 corridor as part of their unfunded vision plan, but at this moment, it is not funded. But thank you for the question.
All right, thank you. Jake is next. Go ahead.
Hi, my question today is I'd heard a rumor when I first read about this project that there would be a direct access interchange for the toll lanes only provided at Colorado as part of this. Is that part of the plan?
Jerome?
Thank you, Jake. Currently, an interchange at Colorado Boulevard is not included in our build project, and actually that interchange is not even being cleared with our revised environmental assessment.
All right, let's go to Wade next. Wade, go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, how can we, originally it was, how can we trust that the tolls will ever go away? But when Pete and Dorothy asked their questions, I guess my question was answered because it doesn't sound like the tolls will ever go away. Is that correct?
Yep. Jerome, do you want to address that?
Sure. This is a very common question and one that we need to get a message out on. Basically, it's the tolls started out lower and now they're higher. One thing that Roger mentioned earlier is that the E-470 Public Highway Authority is a separate entity. And the E-470 Public Highway Authority continues to be one of CDOT's many valued partners on the C-470 Express Lanes project. Since E-470 and CDOT are separate entities, CDOT is not in a position to comment on the toll rates set by E-470. However, there are vast differences between the E-470 and C-470 Express Lanes facilities worth noting. One of the most notable differences is that E-470 was constructed as an entirely new facility. This resulted in substantial upfront infrastructure costs and involved extensive right-of-way purchases. In contrast, the C-470 Express Lanes project will have the luxury of building upon as much of the existing C-470 infrastructure as practical. Additionally, the vast majority of the C-470 Express Lanes project will be constructed within an existing right-of-way. So this is really a tale of two completely different facilities. A better facility to compare the C-470 facility to would be the Express Lanes portion of I-25, where toll ranges from $1 to $2 during off-peak and $4 to $6 during peak periods. Like the C-470 Express Lanes facility, this portion of I-25 also has both general purpose and express lanes options. On E-470, everyone has chosen to pay a toll to access all the benefits of E-470.
Thanks, Jerome. This might be a good time to ask our polling question for the evening. I'll read you the question, and all you have to do to vote is press the corresponding button on your telephone keypad. Here's the question. When the freeway is most congested, if you could save up to 40 minutes on your afternoon commute from I-25 to Wadsworth, how often would you pay the corresponding toll, which, as Jerome mentioned, is projected to be about $6? So press 1 if you will use the westbound tolled express lanes during the afternoon rush on a daily basis. Press 2 if you will use the lanes during the afternoon rush more than once a week, but not quite daily. Press 3 if you will use the westbound tolled express lanes occasionally during the afternoon rush. And press 4 if you will not use the westbound tolled express lanes at all during the afternoon rush. Please vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we're going to go to Kathy next. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes, you keep mentioning the auxiliary lanes, and I'd like to have a better description of these lanes and the proposed use.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Yes, auxiliary lanes, put simply, are lanes that connect interchanges. On 225, for example, we have 3 through lanes, northbound and southbound, and then auxiliary lanes between interchanges, since I-225 was brought up earlier. On C-470, we will have auxiliary lanes between the select locations, select interchanges that I mentioned earlier. And the important point to note about auxiliary lanes is that you will not be required to pay a toll to travel in the auxiliary lanes.
Thank you, Jerome. Here are the results of our polling question. Again, we asked when the freeway is most congested. If you could save up to 40 minutes on your westbound commute from I-25 to Wadsworth, how often would you pay a toll? That's approximately $6. 62% said you're not going to use the toll lane, and 33% said you'd use it occasionally. We appreciate your response to the question. And we'll get back to questions in just a minute. If you'd like to participate, press star 3. For those of you who joined us late, good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's Telephone Town Hall hosted by the C-470 Corridor Coalition. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator as we talk about the C-470 and the proposed improvements to the freeway and addition of tolled express lanes with Douglas County Commissioner Roger Partridge, CDOT Commissioner Ed Peterson, Lone Tree Mayor Jim Gunning, Highlands Ranch Metro District Representative Alan Dreyer, CDOT Region 1 Transportation Director Tony DeVito, and CDOT Project Director Jerome Estes. You can ask a question, as we've mentioned, by pressing star 3 on your keypad, and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some quick information. Again, star 3 to ask a question. This also might be a good time to mention that if you need to leave the call early, you can still leave us a comment by pressing star 9. So press star 3 to ask a question, and press star 9 to leave a message. Finally, for those of you who can't stay on the line until 8, we'll post an audio recording of tonight's call on the CDOT website next week. Let's go back to questions and go to Miles next. Miles, go ahead.
Hi. My question was about the funding for the express toll lanes. I understand that both the city and counties, you know, through Lone Tree, Highlands Ranch, and the whole way, absorbs a large amount of taxes for our registration fees and our vehicles. Why is it necessary to have a toll in the first place?
Commissioner, do you want to take this one?
You bet. Thank you. Hello, Miles. This is Commissioner Roger Partridge. Great question. So, first of all, the users of the highway are not just from those that border it. So there's users from all around the area. So the purpose of the managed lanes will be to relieve congestion and provide a reliable trip for those who would choose to pay that toll. So the coalition developed a technical solution to add capacity and address this. And there were three options that were provided. Taxes through either property or sales tax, using tolling all lanes, or express lanes just for new capacity. And a consensus of the coalition and the public outreach was that the third choice of express lanes absorbing the tolls would be the most wise way to go with that. Thank you very much for your question, Miles.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go to Mike next. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Nearly every major city I've been around recently has had a beltway around the city as part of the interstate system. Why in Colorado can we not have an interstate system beltway around the city of Denver?
Jerome, do you want to take this, or Commissioner Peterson?
Hi, this is Ed Peterson, and thank you for the question. E-470 will, and C-470 are integral parts of the beltway system that we are currently in the process of developing and have for several years. Funding mechanisms for these have varied as federal highway dollars become more scarce and financing becomes more difficult from state revenue. We take a look at alternative methodologies to provide these existing services. But the next phase after the C-470 project is determined and underway, we'll move into phase two of the project, which will include C-470 all the way up to Northwest Parkway and the Northwest Parkway north to complete the ring road. And we're very hopeful that in the next couple decades we will be able to have a complete ring road around the city of Denver or in the metropolitan area, because you're right, there are very few major metropolitan areas that do not have a complete ring road system. And the unfortunate situation is that we have to do this with available funds and be creative about how these are financed as we move forward. So that's a very good question. Thank you, and I hope that sheds some light on your concerns.
All right, thank you, Ed. Let's go to Greg next. Greg, what's your question?
Yes, good evening. Particularly for those of us who live in Highlands Ranch, has there been any consideration for noise abatement, particularly on the south side of C-470 between, let's say, Colorado and Broadway?
Tony?
Greg, good question. CDOT is currently analyzing noise levels along C-470, not only for today's traffic, but also for our forecasted traffic numbers that it's expected to carry in 2035. If the analysis does determine that the forecasted noise level exceed federal requirements for residents along the corridor, then CDOT will evaluate those locations for potential noise mitigation.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Good question this evening. Jerome, there are some exciting improvements to the design of the I-25 C-470 interchange plan. Would you take a minute to talk about that?
Sure. This is one of the parts of the project that we're most excited about. As Roger mentioned, there is a design improvement that will make a big difference at the I-25 C-470 interchange. Three direct connection ramps are included to provide drivers a choice to utilize the westbound tolled express lanes or travel in non-tolled lanes when entering the westbound C-470 corridor from I-25 and E-470. And now I'll just take you through a quick verbal virtual tour of one of these movements. If your commute home includes traveling southbound on I-25 and then going westbound on C-470. So imagine you're coming home from work, you're on southbound 25, you make your decision for 470 at the normal spot, and then you have the next decision point between E-470 and C-470. Instead of continuing on if traffic is heavily congested westbound, let's say you look down that curve to the right and see a bunch of brake lights, you'll have the opportunity to get out of the general purpose traffic, slip out into one of the direct connect ramps, punch underneath the existing fourth level flyover, and then connect directly with the express lane facility and continue in a paid trip that will take you past all of the congestion that occurs between I-25 and Quebec.
All right, thanks, Jerome. Sandy, thanks for holding, and you're next.
Hi.
I've been a Douglas County resident for over 37 years, and I reside about 5 miles east of I-25, and that's basically the only highway I utilize. But I've been required to contribute to C-470 and its maintenance for at least the last 12 years. How is this extension of these new modifications going to affect the Douglas County residents that never even use C-470 or E-470?
Commissioner Partridge.
Hello, Sandy. Maybe just a little clarification here. So there is, for some of Douglas County, not all of Douglas County, a $10 fee for E-470. That's I-25 and east. Again, E-470, not C-470. So that is, there won't be a $10 fee regarding the C-470, which is what we're referring to tonight. And regarding the, there has been $10 million that Douglas County is dedicating to this, and that is already planned in the budget. So hopefully that answers your question, Sandy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good 37-year residence there, Commissioner. So, all right, we're going to go to Helen next. Helen?
Hi. I'm sorry. I have not looked at the maps and drawings, what you have. But my concern is, if you're going to have a lane that switches by light and drop arms to be going east or west, depending on the time of day and how busy it is, I am concerned about the accidents that happen when people make mistakes or the equipment makes mistakes. I will never drive on one of those because there's been too many accidents.
Well, Helen, I'm going to turn you over to Mayor Gunning, who has good news for you.
Hey, Ellen, thanks for taking the time to listen in and ask your question this evening. It's not at all like the reversible lane on I-25. We're going to be building, or we hope to be building, a managed lane both east and west. So there will be an additional lane added to C-470 from I-25 to Wadsworth on both sides going east and west, in addition to the auxiliary lane. So we should all get to see quite a bit of congestion relief. So certainly hope that answers your question, and please stay with us this evening.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, if you'd, Helen mentioned looking at maps, if you want to look and at more information that's available on the website, just type in C-470 Express Lanes in any browser of your choice. It'll go right to the website, or type in C-470Coalition.com. There's a lot of background material, maps, and information that you can access on the website. We're going to call on David next. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have two questions. One is, how do we know that CDOT's going to take care of the facility when you can drive all over the state of Colorado and see rusting out bridges that have never been painted since they were built, or even the new structures like the one off I-25 over Broadway where the paint's peeling off? How do we know that you're going to even bother to repair any of this stuff or just let it fall in decay, and as you have done so often, and then say you have to replace it? That was question one. Question two is, why do we? Are you proposing some of the highest tolls in the United States for this to work?
Rome?
Well, I'll go ahead and take part two of your question, and then I'll turn part one of your question over to Commissioner Peterson, if that's okay. Part two of your question talks about how do you set toll rates, and if there aren't graduate-level traffic engineering finance combo classes on toll optimization, there probably soon will be, because you could spend all semester studying toll optimization. But something to realize about the way HPTE will set tolls is that we are attempting to maximize the number of motorists that can experience a reliable trip. Where a business is accountable to public or private shareholders, CDOT is accountable to you, the traveling public. And because of that, we want to provide, again, as many people with a reliable trip as possible. So if you imagine on one side of the spectrum, a toll rate of a nickel to drive from I-25 to Wadsworth, you can imagine the express lanes would be very congested. That would not fulfill our purpose. On the other side of the spectrum, imagine a toll rate of $100. To go from I-25 to Wadsworth. there's not going to be very many folks in that lane. That's not going to accomplish our purpose either. So toll optimization is finding that sweet spot where we can maintain our minimum operating speed, which is a project goal of 45 miles an hour, with a 55 mile per hour optimal speed. Now, the speeds I gave you, the 45 minimum and the 55 mile per hour optimum, that is during the peak rush hour. Most of the time, speeds will be greater, they'll be the speed limit.
Jerome, thank you. Mayor Gunning, I'm going to call on you just to talk a little bit more about that idea of the toll pricing versus congestion.
Oh, hi, this is Jim Gunning again. And really, the concept here is a managed lane. Not only does it pay for the addition of the managed lanes on both sides of the highway, but the idea is to make sure that we have free-flowing traffic. So if you're willing to pay that fee when you get into that lane, and the engineers often use the term reliable trip, but to me that just means I'm going to be able to get in that lane, I'm going to be able to drive freely through the extent of the corridor. I believe some of the studies have shown that if during the congested period you could save almost 40 minutes doing the entire length going from I-25 to Wadsworth. So that's what we mean by reliability, and that's why the pricing adjusts during the day so that you can get in that lane and actually have access to a free-flowing traffic. Thanks for the call.
Commissioner Peterson, do you want to jump in then on the second part of the question?
Yes, I would. And thank you very much, and thank you for your concerns, and thank you for your comments about the state highway system around the state of Colorado. As you mentioned, we are constantly in the process of trying to make sure that we provide for the traveling public in the state of Colorado reliable, safe, and good transportation alternatives. In that light, the commission works very diligently with limited amounts of budget and works very hard to make sure that the dollars we do have go as far as we can possibly stretch them. We've done a lot of things in the past couple years to increase the amount of funding that we're able to get out for surface treatment programs across the state, for maintenance of our system, and for mitigation of unsafe or conditions that really do need our help. The unfortunate situation is that the cost of maintaining our highway system and the available funds are not keeping track. You know, we haven't increased our fuel tax for over 20 years. It's not indexed. So whether you're paying $3 a gallon or 55 cents a gallon, the tax remains the same. And we continue to work hard with our other partners, looking at options to provide safe, reliable transportation across the state of Colorado. We're doing major projects on the western slope over in Grand Junction, in Colorado Springs, along the Front Range, and in our rural communities as well. We have to maintain a very, very diverse system with extremely challenging terrain. I mean, when you look at the type of highways that we have, from our high mountain passes all the way to our secondary roads in our rural areas, it does become challenging to make sure that we can maintain those to the general public's satisfaction. And all I can tell you is that we're working hard to do that, and the next time that you have an opportunity to weigh in on funding mechanisms for our state highway, I really hope and would appreciate your input to your friends and neighbors to make sure that we do have the necessary funding available to make sure that your highway system is maintained at a high level. Thank you for your comment, and thank you for the question.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go to Laura next. Laura, what's your question tonight?
I have a question regarding how long this construction is going to take, and is there any consideration to the people that are going to be using the expressway while the construction is going on? Recently, both Quebec, Colorado Boulevard, Dad Clark, sometimes University, and Lincoln were all being worked on at the same time, which made it very difficult to get around the area. So I'm wondering what consideration you have to maybe working at night so that there's not as much congestion during the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Tony?
Laura, great question. Construction fatigue is something that is real and evident in our customers. One of the things that this project will provide is that as we bring a design and a constructor to the team, these comments and comments that we'll hear through the open house process, those are going to be relayed back. And as the team is designing and figuring out how they're going to construct those, they're going to understand how we best do that with the minimal impacts. In addition to that, what we're seeing in larger design build projects like this one will be is the ability for the contractor not to have to be coordinating with local projects and other projects in the area. It's really going to be the one focus in the area. That one contractor will have full control and will have the oversight of CDOT and the locals that will have set work times that we deem depending on the type of activity and depending on the type of traffic. And so your answer is yes, we will definitely have work time controls in place based on what we hear as we develop this project.
Tony, thank you. Lots of information that we're going over tonight. There are, as a reminder, 4 public meetings next week, Monday through Thursday. Get your pen and pencil ready because Jerome's going to cover those dates and locations in just a few minutes. You can also get information on our website, c470coalition.com. Let's go to Jack next. Jack, what's your question?
Oh, I was just wanted to check and see, is the speed limit on the express lanes any different than the regular lanes? Also, you probably must have separate exits and entrance for both systems. And I also wondered if you could transfer between one and the other.
Jerome?
Yes, covering access to the express lanes is a great thing to talk about. The speed limit, the posted speed limit, will be the same for the facility. I talked earlier about what we expect to achieve during rush hour, and I talked about how we're shooting for an optimum speed of 55 miles per hour in the express lanes during the most congested periods of the day and a minimum operating speed of 45 miles per hour. Now, in terms of access, there are different strategies for getting in and out of express lanes. The strategy that we chose for this project is what we call a buffer-separated facility, and we will also have ingress-egress areas that are the width of a lane. In other words, if you imagine you are trying to get out of the express lane to get to your exit, which will be the same as the general-purpose exits, by the way, you will have a 12-foot lane to pull out of the express lane and wait for your gap in the general purpose traffic before you get off at your exit. So we talked about the direct connect access earlier, but in terms of independent exits out of the express lanes, we do not have plans for those at this time.
Thank you. Terry's next. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a multi-part question. First of all, whatever happened to pay as you go, you have $100-some million that has already been funded, and there will be cost overruns. There is on every public project. Why don't you build only what you have now, then complete at a later date the rest of the project after you acquire new funds in the future? As it's proposed now, the toll is never going to end and will most likely increase as for E-470 is done. This is only a moneymaker plan at the expense of the current taxpayers. If the plan
Jerome?
Is undertaken, there must be an end date of the toll fees. At the current rate of $6 per trip, that's $12 a day if you go both ways. That's $60 a week, $240 a month, or $12,480 per year. Would you personally be willing to pay nearly $12,500 just to go to a $10 an hour job, or would you skip the tolls altogether? I say build it only when you can afford it.
Jerome, you want to talk about that?
Okay, I think I'm going to tackle the first part of your question, which we had this astute question at our August 19th meeting as well. And the question was, well, if you have $112 million, if you just didn't toll the road, could you go ahead and pay for an extra general purpose lane with the money you have on the table right now? And the quick answer is that $112 million will not fund the project that would be the delta between the extra cost of the direct connects, the tolling infrastructure, and the extra width from the buffer separation. So the answer to the question is there would be a funding gap even if we didn't require tolling, and that is exactly why we are going to need to toll this road to pay for the project.
Commissioner Peterson, do you want to talk a little bit more about just the state of funding? We haven't raised gas tax in, 20-some years, 22 years?
Yes, thank you for that, and thank you for your comments and your questions. You know, we have to look at all revenue streams in order to maintain the system. We have continued shortfalls and have had for years as a result of the lack of funding, both from the federal side and from the state side, to maintain our highway systems. This is a problem that's nationwide. A lot of our internal system is aged. I mean, we're 50 years plus on some of our bridges. Road conditions across the state, I think we do a pretty good job of. Then the maintenance that is involved. We have an annual budget of almost $1 billion at the state level in order to maintain the system that we have. And quite honestly, we don't have any additional funding for additional lanes now because we're spending those funds to maintain the existing system. So we're always looking for better and more efficient and effective ways to increase the safety, the reliability, and to maintain our system as it currently exists and expand so that we can continue to grow the economics within the state. So thanks again for your question.
And one last, this is Tony DeVito again. To talk about pay-as-you-go, I think that's what we've been really working on, and I can attest that the frustrations on like the 225 corridor that has taken us 27 years to get widened. US 85 is a study that's been complete now for 15 years, and we keep just cobbling and piecemealing that corridor. And I can tell you, I get numerous, as I go around in different public meetings, there's always that frustration of, you've started it, when you going to finish it. So in a corridor like this where we have a very viable project, and even though we have a funding gap, it is paramount that we figure out a way to get this this accomplished.
All right. Let's go to Jim next. Jim, go ahead.
Yes. I was wanting to know if you are planning on having a graduated toll fee for multi-axle vehicles for wear and tear on your expressway.
Rome? How are multi-axle vehicles going to be handled?
Well, currently we are projecting there will be a toll surcharge on trucks in the express lanes.
But that's not decided yet, is that correct?
That's correct. That's still yet to be vetted, but that has been HPTE's overall strategy, but we still need to vet that.
Thank you. Good. Okay, let's go to Tom next. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, sorry. I was wondering, have you looked at the air quality implications from the increased traffic flows?
Jerome, air quality implications?
We are underway with a revised environmental assessment right now, and air quality is one of the very important resources that we look at. And once we get done with this revised environmental assessment, there'll be a full write-up on this facility's impact on air quality and in-depth analysis that will be provided to the public. And there will be plenty of opportunity for public comment at the meetings that I'll discuss a little later on in the program.
Commissioner Peterson, you want to follow up?
I do, and thank you. And that is correct. We are in the process of doing a complete revision on the environmental analysis, and that will be subject to and open to public comment. I just wanted to briefly state that in the numerous studies that have been done through the Denver Regional Council of Governments and the Denver Air Quality Control, when you eliminate the traffic standing still and idling in congested lanes, and open that up so that more cars are traveling more miles at speed, you actually reduce the air pollution that comes off of those highways. So typically, you can state that the more effective the traffic flows, the less there is for air quality problems.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Webb-Jerome, we've been talking a lot about the meetings that are coming up next week. I've alerted people to have pen and paper ready, so why don't you talk about how folks can get more information on the project?
Okay. We have several open houses scheduled next week, as we have alluded to several times. Each open house will be from 6 to 8 p.m. On Monday, September 15th, we will be at the Kincarl Ranch House located at 7676 South Continental Divide Road. On Tuesday, September 16th, at the Highlands Ranch Metro District Office at 62 Plaza Drive. On Wednesday, September 17th, we'll be at the Lone Tree Arts Center. That address is 10075 Common Street in Lone Tree. Finally, on Thursday, September 18th, at Homestead Elementary School at 7451 South Homestead Parkway. You can find more information, including the full public open house schedule I just detailed, by simply typing C470 Express Lanes. That is C470 Express Lanes. Just type that into your favorite search engine, and executing the search will lead you to our website. You can also access the same site through the C470 Coalition's website at www.c470coalition.com. In addition to the public open house schedule, you can also find drawings of the project if you're curious about the direct connects, etc. CDOT is preparing a revised environmental assessment, and there will be a public hearing mid-2015. We will have extensive and ongoing public information efforts throughout the construction phase as well. As I mentioned earlier in the call, the preliminary schedule has construction of the C470 improvements beginning in the summer of 2016. As we get closer to the completion of construction, we will have a targeted public outreach campaign aimed at informing the public on all the details surrounding how you get in and out of the facility, because we want everybody up to speed on opening day. In closing, we hope that when you think of the C470 Express Lanes, you think of a congestion management strategy offering a reliable trip choice. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jerome. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of our call tonight. We're sorry if we didn't get to you, but if you want to leave a question or comment, you can do so at the end of the call. All you have to do is stay in the line. Don't have to press any buttons. Just hang on the line. On behalf of the C470 Coalition, CDOT, and all of our panelists here tonight, thank you very much for participating, and have a great evening.